B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-za, ba-do-za.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
It has been a tough time for Rocky after Mickey rolled a seven during the loss to Clubber Lang, and now he's turned to his oldest rival, Apollo Creed, two of the great heavyweights of all time. And after a difficult start to training, Rocky has now decided that it's time for a swim. And now Rocky and Apollo sprinting on the beach, running to who knows where, older now but still running against the wind. Their training outfits are interesting. Very tight tank tops and very tight and way too short shorts. They're running now in slow-mo, and Rocky pulls away for the win at the finish line, now frolicking in the surf in a lovely warm embrace in the California sun. Things are getting weird. Is this still a Rocky movie?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. You can subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub and enjoy all of that, all that has to offer. It will send you a nice reminder in the morning to listen to our radio program, 617-779-0985. As I continue this week broadcasting from Tennessee, I've not left the property since I've been here.
Well, you have missed out on some of the weirder weather that we've had in a long time. You know, with the first day, 2 days ago, we had that insane smoke alert from, it was like an air advisory because of the wildfires that somehow ends up in Boston, even though they're from California. And then last night, if you were someone who was going to be heading out to Fenway, you got hit with a just random 65-mile-per-hour storm out of absolute effing nowhere. So yesterday I was actually riding my bike, and I was maybe about two blocks away from home, and all of a sudden this sky opened up, and like right before I pulled into my building, a trash can got blown over. It was so bad. Like, it just came out of absolute nowhere, and the Red Sox game obviously had to be postponed. So, and then I think it only lasted, like, what, Joe? Maybe, like, 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes?
Not even.
And now there's damage all over the place. Like, in Quincy, there's, like, poles down, and there's construction cars trying to get, like, you know, power lines back up. It's, Fred, it's like you were the thing that was holding it all together. You took the
rain. Yeah. It was beautiful.
It was gorgeous.
It was beautiful the whole time I was there. Oh, yeah. The summer's been great.
July has officially just sucked. This has been the worst weather month I can remember in a long time that didn't involve, like, feet of snow. Like, this is supposed to be our paycheck. This is supposed to be the time where we actually earn all of those cruddy months of the horrible cold and the blizzards. And now is supposed to be where we get to go, all right, well, now I know why we live here. This month has just absolutely been a waste.
Well, yeah. And, you know, as someone who does not often vacation in the New England area, I got to say I'm enjoying it a little bit. That finally, my persistence has paid off. And those who spend their time in the Cape and Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard are being cruelly punished for their inability to travel further to a vacation. It has all come to roost.
We had one nice day on Saturday, and that was like, I mean, Joe was down at the Cape. I'm sure it was absolute chaos down there.
It took three hours to get her from here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there's the bridge over there, which just, you know, I mean, if you're dumb and you leave at rush hour on Friday, then you get everything you deserve if you're heading to the Cape. It's a nightmare. So it was the one day everyone tried to cash in on, and although it's looking like it's going to get better, but this month has just been an absolute waste.
Yes, today it's going to be over 100 degrees, and my father has decided that this is the day that him and I or to take to the golf course. And it was, I was going to play with his Wednesday group, which was going to be me and some dudes in their 70s, which I was actually looking forward to just to have the stories for tomorrow. But that has decided to be delayed. His the older men were bagging out due to the weather, so that is not happening for me today. But I will be spending 4 hours with my father today on a golf course, which I have to say I've been well rested because Lord knows this air mattress is really giving me my sleep. This is what I needed. This is how you want to go out of town and sleep on an air mattress that is. I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting anything out of this thing. This is zero sleep.
Is there a hotel near there?
I can't stay in a hotel. What? I can't stay in a hotel.
Why?
I can't leave here and stay in a hotel.
Why not?
And then drive back at 4:30 in the morning and do the show.
If you're doing the show from there, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Like when am I gonna?
Because usually the moment if I'm gonna be somewhere for like more than a day or two and I have to sleep on an air mattress, that's I immediately go, where's the hotel? That's when the tide turns, I would think.
Yeah, I also don't have a car, so I would have to use one of my parents' cars. And my parents, I'll tell you what, they have the social life. They're out every night. They're out having fun. They're out going out. They have a better social life than I do. So that's my advice to people, is move to a place with a bunch of old people. you'll never be alone.
Now, does night mean 4 o'clock when they go out at night?
No, they were out till 10 o'clock last night.
I love it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, big dock parties, people having cocktails on the docks, I'll tell you.
You know what? Watching old people like out and about and having a blast is actually something that's... Like, I love it.
Oh, the people watching on that is amazing.
It's the best. So when I went over to Copenhagen a couple years ago, and I saw the same thing in Iceland. It's like a Scandinavian thing, is that you would see groups of old people, like people in like older, like in their 70s, some even like old as old, like in their 80s. And they would be out until midnight just partying and hanging in bars and restaurants with all the younger people. Like it's a culture thing over there to where that gene that never goes away. And I don't know what it is and why it is and why they just are happier. The older people there seem to be happier in Scandinavia. But I mean, it is like I saw a bunch of old dudes and like they were wearing like Judas Priest t-shirts and stuff, and they're like in their 70s. Maybe it was actually members of Judas Priest, but they were all out like, you know, drinking at the bars, hanging with the young people, going drink for drink. It was really a inspiring thing.
Well, what's funny about that is I have to imagine the next day, if you're 75 and you're out till 1 in the morning going to drink for drink with people in their 20s, the next day has got to be an experience.
Yeah.
I mean, your body doesn't metabolize things like it used to.
I know. And
your sleep is crap anyway. So, I mean, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. So, you know, staying out till 1 in the morning, boozing it up on a consistent basis with people 50 years your junior is the next day is not handled. I mean, as anyone in their 40s can tell you, you do hit a point where it's much more difficult to operate the next day.
Yeah.
And so I can only imagine being in your 70s when your liver is essentially, I mean, you're not operating with 100% of a liver anymore.
Sure.
In your 70s. I mean, your body metabolizing that alcohol, and I don't mean to be a Captain Come Down, but I mean.
Oh, I don't know how they do it. And maybe it has something to do with their diets or what they're drinking, but
I know how they do it that night. Is that they're having a good time.
Yeah.
And they're you know, going out and having a good time and they're living life. I just can only imagine the next morning when you get up at 75, you know, at 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
You've been out till like 2 o'clock at night, you know, going, you know, 15, 20 drinks deep with kids that are in their 20s. I mean, that's got to be. That's gotta be a whole scene.
But just try to imagine this. Like, think of a place like, I'm trying to think of an equivalent. You know, I was about to say the greatest bar, but that's, you know, obviously after like sporting events. So, I don't know, maybe some place like, I don't know, the Grand maybe, where you go in and you expect a certain type of clientele. It's usually right. like, you know, 20s, 30s, maybe a couple people in their 40s. Just if you went to a place like that in Reykjavik or in Copenhagen, when you walk in, it's literally every age. It's like it's the strangest thing, and they're all just throwing down on like the dance floor. Like they never age out of it, which is somewhat inspiring.
If I may, we went to the Cape last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And when I tell you that there's rich white guys dancing, it is a thing. They move their shoulders. Like you've probably seen the Bill Gates, the Steve Ballmer, like when they're all dancing. Like
oh, I've seen Steve Ballmer, he does the double cup.
Yeah, they tried the double cup. But that's what I mean. Like these guys, they don't. I like to keep it inside. Like right, this is my zone.
Yeah, right here. Zone.
Like no, those guys go outside the zone, man. They're like moving their. It is the greatest people watching, but it's definitely like rich guys who don't know how to dance that are like letting loose. And that was some great people watching down the Cape. Like that was some really good stuff the last couple.
Now, did they
years.
Have the sweaters around their neck when they were doing it?
Some of them around their waist, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Around their waist.
Well, yeah, because now you're dancing. You have to remove the what's encumbering you. Well, you have to get as loose as possible.
That's to cover the stains where he crapped himself earlier on in the night.
That's right. And the pop collar. That's like how you know the old timer always get a pop collar.
it's like over the top. You know, you put the hat backwards, you pop the collar up. It's dancing time.
Well, you have to look like a bad guy from a 1980s movie. I mean, you have to have the pop collar.
It's called the Zabka.
Yeah, it's the Zabka, or it could be the most depressing movie of all time, which is the John Cusack, Jeremy Piven film.
Better Off Dead?
The one where it's set in Nantucket or it's set in
One Crazy Summer.
One Crazy Summer, yes. The most depressing movie of all time.
See, you found that depressing? I actually thought that when I was a kid, I loved that movie.
It's for some reason, when they shot it, it was overcast every day, and it just is a downer. It's just a downer, the whole thing.
It's where the guy gets buried up to his neck in the sand, and the fat person sits on top of it and brings the big thing of beans and farts a hole so big that it just like blows him into the ground. I was maybe 11 when I saw that film, and it was just the exact perfect age for that joke, and I lost it.
I thought that joke was very funny when I was a kid, too, and the rest of the movie was... I'm like, why are these guys getting bullied? They're far too old. I mean, these guys are in their 20s and they're getting bullied. I mean, Cusack was not a young man during that film. Certainly not a 16 Candles John Cusack.
He was a cartoonist, right? Wasn't that his big thing?
No, that was Better Off Dead. Is he was the cartoonist because that's when everybody wants him comes alive, right?
Oh,
he's
man.
Drawing.
Now I'm getting them all mixed up.
I think in Better Off Dead he's a cartoonist.
No, he was trying to apply to the Rhode Island School of Design, to RISD.
Okay,
and he had to write. Didn't he have to write a love story or whatever? And
yeah, One Crazy Summer, yes, right? Yeah. He was a cartoonist in One Crazy Summer. That's right. Yeah, and it was like half the story was kind of told through his cartoons. Like it was almost like a narrative thing that the director did. He was
a cartoonist in Better Off Dead 2?
See, I don't know.
Because remember when he's working at the burger place, and then I just remember getting very excited that Van Halen played, and the little thing comes alive, and there's claymation with everyone who wants some. I don't know. Cusack did a lot of very so-so movies back then. I remember you could snort pure snow when you were on top of the mountain, according to Booger.
Oh, really? Is that what he said?
Remember, he goes, "Man, this is pure snow."
My memory is killing me now. I can't remember that.
You've been partying Reykjavik too much. That might
be the case. Can't wait to go back. John Cusack's one of those guys that, not inexplicably, I mean, I guess inexplicably, he wasn't even that great of an actor. Like, there was a period where he was one of the biggest actors in Hollywood. Like, somehow he got hooked up with, like, Michael Bay and all those guys. Remember, he was in, like, The Rock and a bunch of other, like, these, you know, like, big action movies for a while. Then he was in, like, of course, the very dated, amazing movie 2012 about the end of the world. And then that was kind of it. Wasn't he in The World After Tomorrow or whatever that was? He was just in all these, like, huge budget films. And then that dude can't go straight to Netflix if he tried. Like, he has completely disappeared.
He got very, very political. And
was that he pulled a Randy Quaid?
No, he the other way. He's extremely leftist, but I heard an interview with him, and he says he's getting crap because he's so political and That's, people are afraid to touch him.
There are so many actors who say that, who just either become washed up or they become difficult, and they'll start blaming, well, it's obviously because people don't like my political opinions. I've seen that happen over and over again.
But he was in, him and Tim Robbins were in a movie called Tapeheads featuring Fishbone very extensively. That was a movie that I would rent and I would go, oh my God, Fishbone's in this movie. And then I would say, oh, we have to sit through Tapeheads, which is not a good film. But Fishbone still put it up on their Instagram. They're still very, and Cusack would rock a Fishbone shirt in almost every movie. And say anything, he rocks a Fishbone shirt. He gives Fishbone lots and lots of respect.
You know who kind of went the same way as Cusack, but he's kind of doing it right, believe it or not, is, you know, Nicolas Cage was one of the biggest stars in Hollywood for a long time. And what Nicolas Cage has been doing over the last 5 years or so has been unbelievable. He is picking the strangest roles that he can find, and the result has been he has made some great movies, like movies that are the reviews are legitimately fantastic. I told you the movie he made, Mandy, about those weird dudes in the woods who kidnap his wife and there's that strange cult. That's my favorite movie of the last 5 years. And Nicolas Cage is brilliant in it. He's in a movie right now called Pig about some crazy man who lives in the woods who has this pig that gets stolen from him. That right now is, I think, 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. Like he just picks weird. He did the one movie where he overnight had to clean a Chuck E. Cheese type restaurant and all the animatronics came to life to try to murder him. It's called Willy's Wonderland. Like, he's just picking legitimately strange roles that no one else would take, and he's killing it.
But he's also he's in a De Niro situation where he has to work.
I was going
to
say that.
Yeah, he is. He's out of money.
But you know what?
Well, he's out of money. But he went bankrupt a million times over. The way he spent money is hysterical.
He bought castles and the Elephant Man's bones and all this other crap. Like a dinosaur. He actually bought a dinosaur.
And then he was everything Elvis. He had, and then he married Elvis's daughter or grand. Daughter,
right?
And he bought. I mean, how weird was that? He just bought all this Elvis stuff and then married the granddaughter. Like he was just. He's a freak. But how about that with De Niro? Like De Niro is in this divorce where this woman is asking for, dude, like over $1 million a month. She just wants all like this insane amount of money, and he's like, his lawyers are saying. His lawyers literally made the defense, have you seen the movies he's been making? like
the
war with Grandpa.
Dad,
which I saw in the theater. But that was a COVID special. That was out forever. But he owes her so much money that, and he's my parents' age. He's like 79, 80.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't stop working.
Oh, yeah.
Because he owes this woman. Whose main thing was she married him, and so he has to work. This has screwed up the Los Angeles divorce laws.
That's Dr. Dre. There's a lot of them out there.
But the difference between like a guy like De Niro and Nicolas Cage is that De Niro is taking stuff that you know is trash. Like every plot summary for a new Nicolas Cage movie makes you go, oh my goodness, that's new. Like there's this one there that's come out where. He gets hired by, I might get the plot wrong. He gets hired by some mob boss to go into some den of like crack and villainy to get his daughter, to save his daughter. And if he does it wrong, they will blow off his private parts on a device that they have strapped to his junk. I think it's called like the Prisoners of Ghostland. I read about this, and every one of his like plot lines, you're like, dude, I would see that. And Nicolas Cage, of course, nails every single time because there's nobody that does flipping out better than Nicolas Cage. Like he's one of the best actors working, and he's making some of the most amazingly avant-garde films right there. He might be my favorite actor in Hollywood right now. I can't wait to see what he picks.
You're the guy seeing his movies.
I am. Go see Mandy. Mandy is by far my favorite movie the last 5 years.
Well, I would see it, but my parents don't have any way to get movies. I have to buy them and have them shipped here. I literally have a stack of DVDs here to watch when I actually have time. All right, we got what happened last night coming up. What are we going to talk about, fellows?
Such chaos at the Olympics last night. Also, get ready for the running of the fans. We got the opening of camp this morning over there at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, get in there and watch the boys stretch. All right, we'll be back in just...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened yesterday? Yesterday was a crazy day in sports.
It was. It was the news that made every executive at NBC's head explode. The face of the Olympics, Simone Biles, opting out of Team USA's final following one rotation because she felt she wasn't mentally ready. It really was a flurry of conflicting stories that went from it was for injury reasons to it was for mental reasons, but the latter was confirmed by Simone herself yesterday.
It's been really stressful, this Olympic Games. I think just as a whole, not having an audience, there are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out, but we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case.
All right. I don't know, Fred, if you watched the broadcast yesterday. Joe, did you watch any of this as it, like, you know, obviously it was tape delayed, but it was pretty incredible to watch this happen. It starts off, you know, Simone attempts this vault during the team finals, and, you know, they kept saying that she lost herself midair because I guess she was supposed to do like 2.5 twists. She only did 1.5 twists, and she landed, and you could just see it on her face that she was shaken. She mouthed something. She walked over to her coach and mouthed something along the lines of, "I don't trust myself right now." And the next thing you know, she's walking off the floor with her trainer. But NBC, who was airing it in primetime from the tape delay earlier in the morning, thought that this was the perfect way to air the segment. Dan, I don't know if you saw this as well. This was just moments after that failed vault attempt as the crew was trying to figure out what happened. She's saying something to her coach, and here is how it aired last night.
To be able to see somebody like Simone Biles, we talk about that.
Because it's not only a feeling, but it's the numbers, the advantage built in, the difficulty.
Peacock streaming.
Comedy.
It's new comedies. It's your favorite comedies.
I mean, NBC, it's the biggest story of the Olympics, but come hell or high water, they're going to get their commercial for Peacock in. They cut in the middle of that moment, the moment everyone was tuning in for, and aired a commercial for Peacock. Right in mid-discussion of what was going on.
Tape delayed, not live. It wasn't like someone did it by accident.
No,
you know.
This was what they had somehow had planned to do. I mean, you're telling me you had all day to get this moment ready for airing in prime time, and you F it up that bad? NBC was all over the place last night. They had tons of technical issues. But if there's one thing that you're going to get right, one moment, it's that moment. And they aired a commercial right in the middle of all of it. And then they come back as if, like, you know, nothing ever happened. And, I mean, it was just, I mean, NBC couldn't have effed up the entire thing any more than they did. But I don't know if you saw any of the. Did any of you guys watch this last night? Any of you guys see it?
A little bit. I had it on.
Okay. Yeah, a little bit. Okay. But I know what happened, but what's interesting about this is, okay, it's an interesting thing because Simone Biles hung out and talked to the media afterwards. So, all right, I'm a staunch defender of mental health, and it's great people having these discussions, and I understand that, myself included, you have bouts where, you know, you got to get away and things like that. However, there is something to be said that when you have trained your entire life for something and it is the moment where that happens, that I will just tell you what I would teach my children. To come hell or high water, just get through it. get through that moment. This is not Tuukka Rask leaving for his family. This is not Kevin Love having panic attacks and, you know, not being able to travel with the team. This is not the kid that got drafted in the NBA that had terrible anxiety issues. I understand all of that. Simone Biles was able to travel to Japan. She was able to do the qualifying rounds, and she was able to do all of that. I would tell my children, you know what, you might not perform your best, but you will look back and regret this.
Here's the only, from
what I know about mental health, and I know a lot. I don't know about everything, and I can't crawl into her head. This seems like there are times where you just got to push through and or you're going to have missed out on life.
Here's the number one reason why I'll disagree with you in there, and it's a gymnastics-specific reason.
That you could die?
Yes, and that is because right. It affected her ability to pull off something that she tried to do. And you saw it in the first thing with the vault. She was supposed to pull an extra twist in there, and she looked shaken when she was done, like, why is my body not doing what I'm telling it to do? And that's why when she went over and she said, it was like, my body's not, I don't trust my body right now, I think is what she whispered. So in this case, if your head's not in the right place and you're about to pull off something that you could potentially break your neck if you don't do right, I don't have a problem with her stepping aside on that.
I don't have let me make this very clear. I don't have a problem with her stepping aside. It's her life. I don't think, you know, she has any obligation to USA Gymnastics or anything. She's done more for them than they've done for her. So I don't have a problem with what she did. All I'm saying is I think the mental health conversation has been very positive. I do, however, there are times in your life where you are having abject terror and anxiety, but you still have to accomplish the task that you were set out to do.
I know what you're saying, and Fred, I'm not disagreeing with you,
right? What you're saying is that she could get hurt and she could do that, but I mean, listen, man, you're going out to pitch Game 7 of the World Series, and this is all for the I'm thinking of her. This is not for me or for the audience or for NBC. Is you're going out to pitch Game 7 of the World Series, and you're freaking out, and you don't have control of your fastball, and you're Rick Ankiel, and you're throwing the ball all over the place. That's fine. You screwed up, and but to not go out there, see, that's what. Because there's times in my life where it would be very easy to just go, like, I'm flipping out. I don't want to do this. Like, I'm having major anxiety. It happens not as much as it used to, but there. Dude, I wouldn't work in radio. I wouldn't have. If every time I was having panic, I wouldn't have this job right now. But I never would have gotten through it.
But the difference is your panic can't get you injured. Whereas
no,
hers could.
Well, I think the other thing that's missing here is she has nothing else to prove. She's already done this.
Joe, you're missing my point, and Rich, I think, understands my point. My point is not me. It's not about me or you or the audience. I'm talking about getting older and looking back on your life and going, you know what? I just think that she might regret doing what she did.
In many situations, I agree with you. Last night, as I said, just because of specifically how dangerous it is.
But I do think. Listen, she's going to get a book deal like you won't believe. And I do think that they're going to have, you know, these people that don't quite get it, you know, writing these, you know, I've probably already happened writing these pieces of how like brave she is and brilliant she is for doing this. And I'm 99, always been on the side of it, but I wouldn't teach my kids to go, at that moment, to go, like, I would just be like, push through it. If you don't win, you don't win. And if you screw up, you screw up. But there's a difference between having a mental breakdown and then doing a gymnastics routine and being able to hang out afterwards and, you know, cheer on your team
well,
and everything.
Well, there was, and I'm going to see if we can find it, but there was a moment where you could, it was, you could tell it was pretty tough for Simone because after the, her team, because, you know, one of her teammates had to pick up the slack, had to do the parallel bars that she was supposed to do, and she killed it. Like, I mean, her replacement did an amazing job. And right. afterwards, they ended up winning the silver. But there was an interview that NBC did with the four of them standing there together. So it's the three, you know, who finished, and Simone Biles is to their right. And they first asked Simone Biles about why she was there. She was very, you know, why she didn't perform, and she was fairly vague. And she has every right to. But then they started asking the other three, like, what was your reaction? And, like, it was this moment of honesty that kind of shocked me. They were like, well, it was weird being put in that position. And to be quite honest, it was the most stressful moment I've ever had as an Olympian. But I got out there and I pushed through it. And I'm like, oh, my God, can she hear these words coming out of her mouth while Simone Biles is standing right next to her? I mean, and you saw Simone's face. It was just this. It was this thing where, you know, her teammates didn't have time to carefully craft their sentences and the words they were going to say. So it almost seemed like this moment of complete honesty and forgetting about what Simone Biles had just done.
But they were honest. I mean, they, you know, she put them in a position that was tougher than the position that she was in.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing is that, you know, for the people talking about Simone Biles this morning, her teammates, I mean, how awesome is that? Like, they killed it. Didn't know this was going to happen. You have the best person. You expect that you've got the best gymnast in the world on your team. Right. And she's your Tom Brady. She's going to get you into the end zone. And then all of a sudden, in the mid-game, she leaves, and they're stuck in this spot. And what do? They kill it. They go out there, and they deliver. So, I mean, you got to give them all the credit in the world.
And it will be what I say will be misconstrued if anyone cares. If anyone cares,
I know what you're saying.
I know you don't. Yeah. They'll choose to misconstrue what I say and say Fred was. Again, it's not my business. It's not. It's fine. I don't. I mean, she has. Again, she's done more for USA Olympic gymnasts than they've done for her. But can you imagine if her replacement said, I'm freaking out. Like, I'm not supposed to do this today. Like, I'm on worldwide TV. I'm freaking out. Like, I can't do this. You don't understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I would encourage people in their own lives. I'm actually trying to be, sympathetic to people with mental issues. My advice to you, though, is, I would not look at this as a lesson onto like what to do, is my point. Is because there's going to be many times in your life where you are freaking out, and I've had panic attacks, and I'm medicated, and all of these things, or you're going to be just beyond depressed. But if it's like that one moment, like where you got to do it, if it's an audition, if it's a presentation, if it's anything, if it's a college exam, if it's anything where it's just, you'll feel better if you battle through it. And because if you just allow your anxiety to take over, then anxiety wins, and that's not a healthy way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
Is my point.
I see what you're saying. All right.
And I think there's going to be a lot of opinion pieces that don't get it. And are going to be like, oh, you know, well, she's the greatest, and da 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 da. This isn't Tuukka Rask. This isn't Kevin Love. This is, you're there. You're freaking out. I get it. You know, get through it the best you can. That's all. That's all I'm saying. But you know what? I have as much respect for her as I did before. I just don't think it's a good lesson especially for teens and stuff dealing with mental issues. But there you go. There you have it.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. We do have some calls. If you want to, we can take them.
Oh, calls.
Yes. How about that?
Calls. Mm-hmm. All right.
TNR rarity. Usually they sit back and listen to the greatness, and they're frozen.
Well, Nick, you hang on to these calls. You babysit them, because we will take each and every one of them. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I was at the mall, sipping on a milkshake, playing the wall, taking a break. Admiring the girls with the bamboo earrings, baby hair, and bodies built to swing. That's when I seen her, her name was Tina. Grace and poise, kinda like a ballerina. I said, how you doing? My name's Big L. Don't ask me how I'm living.
I'm all for this.
But then again, so Fred,
this is in honor of Joe, I get it.
Yep. Matter of fact, all morning long, you might think it's Wednesday, but in honor of Joe and his love of lobsters, it's
but he's a lobster.
He's a lobster. He it is Butts Day all morning long.
Got asked a lot about this yesterday.
Joe loves huge butts.
Joe loves butts, so all morning long we got butt music.
I love it. It's a big old butt.
I'm all for it. Just let Joe sit there and do his dance.
That's right. And he, look at him. He's like...
Well, and what an intro into what we're talking about.
Got a big old butt. I know I told you I'd be true. Tina got a big old butt.
So
I'm leaving you.
Yeah, that's right.
Tina got a big old butt.
Joe's the lobster just down at the bottom of the sea dancing with his claws.
Tina got a big old butt.
All right, so we're talking about Simone Biles. My point is, you know, and I'll say it again, obviously, if you listen to the show, you know that I've dealt with my own stuff, and I've dealt with anxiety all my life, and I'm medicated for it. And I just know that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. I wouldn't be talking to you on the radio right now if I would have allowed anxiety to if I bagged out because I was panicking. And so there's a difference between going through a thing where you're literally like trapped at home, or you can't get out of bed, or you've made it to the gym meet and you're hanging. It's just, I wouldn't teach my kids to do what Simone Biles did, but you know, obviously I'm not an expert, and you know, there's differing opinions, and we do have phone calls.
We do.
It's very exciting.
And my side of it is that this is, you know, that's, it's one thing to, you know, try to push through something mentally, and it's another thing if that thing you're trying to push through and you don't feel 100% on, if you do it wrong, could actually injure you and potentially kill you, some of the stuff she's trying to do. And
sure.
And on top of that, you know, no matter what experience a lot of people have, no one's been in a situation like she is, where she is the face of the Olympics and the pressure is there. And it's one thing to try to push through it, but it's another thing to be there in the moment and to not know how it's affecting your body. Because she actually said that to her coach, is that I can't trust my body right now. And that has got to be a terrifying moment for somebody at the Olympics who's prepared for this for 5 years, to when you finally get there, everything inside of you is crippling anxiety to where you can't do things that you've done before over and over again.
Well, I think you would be surprised that when you've done something a million times, how kind of just that subconscious kicks in, and you would be surprised what people can achieve when that kicks in. That's something, in my opinion, that can be overcome. But, John, go ahead, John, on line three.
Hey, guys, long-time listener. Fred, I understand what you're saying, and I have the same mentality, but I kind of think that you're missing the boat a little bit here. With her leaving the team, what kind of message would that say if she left the team and then the next day dominated or pushed through or whatever on individuals with if she were to do what you said and push through, and Rich, I think that
I don't get what you just said.
If she pulled out on her team, and then the next day she competed individually.
But she might compete individually.
No. She's withdrawn.
She's withdrawn completely. So,
and that, by the way, that's somewhat breaking news over the last, like, 3 or 4 hours, is that she is withdrawn from the all-around competition.
All right, well, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, so she's, if I was teaching my kids, I would tell them not to do that. I would say, you know, try, listen, and if she went through with the team competition and it was just like, it wasn't happening, then, you know, then there's a conversation to be had. But to be in that moment and to show up there and to be ready to go, and I just think you'd be surprised what people can push through. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I have a daughter that deals with severe anxiety as well. She's come a long, long way, meaning that, Fred, I agree 100% with you, because if we let her, the anxiety get the best of her, she probably wouldn't be where she is today with her lacrosse program, which we're so proud of her, because she's actually been recruited for Division II lacrosse, and, you know, and there's been so much anxiety in her life where she pushed through it. It's just the best thing to do for the child, for your daughter or your son, to just.
But Andrew, I can't say this enough, though. What makes a difference between your daughter and Simone Biles is that if your daughter goes out and tries to play through anxiety in lacrosse, there's not potential that she'll get paralyzed, which is what Simone Biles is going through. I mean, these are like unbelievably dangerous things she's trying to attempt.
I understand that, but you're under the assumption that she would screw up, and I'm under the assumption.
She said that her body isn't responding to her right now, or it was something along those lines.
Right, but to that, I would say I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see how she looks back on it. The other thing, too, is that, you know, if you, using your daughter as an example, if your daughter goes out there and let's say she goes and she fails, you know, that is, you know, how many people saw her do that? The people who were at the game.
That's not a good point.
Oh, I would say that the pressure is so.
It is
immense.
But the pressure to someone, it's the pressure that she's facing is pressure that she's dealt with since she was 12 years old.
Doesn't mean it was easy.
It doesn't mean it's easy either. But to a kid who's having incredible anxiety to go out and to perform at what they're doing, it's the same thing to them. It's just as important to them as the Olympics is to Simone Biles. It's their own life. Simone Biles has put herself in this situation where she's this good. That's fine. But to this girl that's playing lacrosse and wants to play in college, every one of those games is her own Olympics. So again, the moment, because then you're saying the moment got too big for her, which is, I would even say, is I would look back with more regret if it was just that the moment got away from me and got too big for me. I mean, think of all the comedians that did Carson. Think about what Carson was like in the 70s.
Oh, Fred, there's people who push through stuff, but we also don't. But then again, think about comedians who Gary Coleman, who canceled a ton of shows because he had crippling anxiety. I mean, this
happens. Yeah, I know.
Happens.
Well, no. He had no.
He had depression.
That's completely different. Completely different. He was crying all day, could literally not get out of bed, and was suicidal, and had to get electroshock therapy in order to move on. This was not performance anxiety. He wasn't just getting nervous before he got on stage. He was suicidal. And was crying constantly and could not leave bed. There's a big difference between the two. One's a performance anxiety, and one is essentially a huge medical issue that needed the most radical of treatments to solve. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.